This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York.
And when you add up this real deficit to America, and I will add it up, it will be clear to all of America that the one person in the United States who deserves to be laid off is George W. Bush, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
That's Senator John Kerry on the campaign trail in New Hampshire. 22 delegates are up for grabs, New Hampshire's citizens are voting, and the candidates are holding their breath, waiting to see who takes the nation's first primary of the 2004 presidential election. Attacks on George W. Bush escalated during the week, with Howard Dean assailing borrow-and-spend Republicans.
Borrow-and-spend. This is the credit card presidency. If you want a pharmaceutical bill, charge it to your grandchildren. You want a war in Iraq? $87 billion. Put it on the credit card for the grandchildren. We can do better than this, and we will do better than this when we return to sound fiscal management with a Democrat in the White House instead of a right-wing Republican.
Polls in New Hampshire close at 8 o'clock. Wesley Clark won the initial few votes cast early Tuesday morning in the northern hamlets of Dixville, Notch, and Hart's location, but final pre-primary polls rate Kerry as the favorite. Three American soldiers were killed and one was wounded in a large explosion west of Baghdad Tuesday, the U.S. military said. Hospital staff said two Iraqi civilians were also killed. The casualties occurred in a large explosion, a U.S. Central Command spokesman said. He said he had no idea what caused the blast. A federal judge has ruled that a section of the USA Patriot Act is unconstitutional, the first time any part of the sweeping 2001 anti-terrorism measure championed by the White House has been struck down. U.S. District Judge Audrey Collins ruled that a measure of the act that bars giving expert advice or assistance to groups designated foreign terrorist organizations is too vague, threatening First and Fifth Amendment rights. Two CNN employees were killed and a third was lightly wounded Tuesday afternoon when the cars they were traveling in came under fire. The employees were returning to Baghdad in a two-car convoy from an assignment in the southern city of Hilla when they were ambushed on the outskirts of Baghdad. More IE America Network news after this.
Hello, I'm Rita Moreno. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging or to find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Nothing stops the U.S. Postal Service from making its appointed rounds, not even a postcard addressed simply as "On Top of a Big Hill." The postcard was mailed by a bookstore in Bridgeport to Helen English of Elkins, West Virginia, notifying her that a book she had ordered had arrived. It was addressed, "Mrs. English, On Top of a Big Hill, Elkins, West Virginia, 26241. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Just before Christmas, I read a touching story about some parents who are not going to be at home with their children for the holiday season. Why? Because they were in jail, mostly for small crimes. I thought of these parents locked behind bars a couple of weeks later when I read about the impassioned pleas of Andrew and Leah Fastow. Andy was chief financial officer of the disgraced Enron Corporation, and Leah was assistant treasurer there. Both are among the 18 Enroners who've been charged so far, and both were looking at long jail time. Their crimes are not exactly small stuff. Andy faced 98 counts of fraud, money laundering, and conspiracy to cheat investors and siphon millions of corporate dollars into his own pockets through a Byzantine network of off-the-books partnerships that he created. Leah was charged with conspiracy and tax fraud and hiding kickbacks related to these partnerships. Their self-serving schemes led to the collapse of Enron, costing some 5,000 people their jobs and decimating the savings of employees, retirees, and other small investors. Unlike the parents I had read about earlier, however, the Fastows are rich and have top-dollar lawyers, so they have worked out a plea bargain that cuts his jail time to 10 years and hers to 5 months. Now, here comes the touching part. Andy and Leah have two young boys and were adamant in their plea bargaining that both parents not have to be in jail at the same time. It's for the children's sake, they said, wailing that it was inhumane to incarcerate both parents and leave their boys to be raised by others. This is Jim Hightower saying, excuse me, but it just might be good for the boys if someone else had a hand in raising them for a while, since Mommy and Daddy have such sorry ethical standards. Why should Andy and Leah get privileged treatment when parents who have done far less are in jail and are told that they can't even get a break to see their kids at Christmas time?
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces, as you know, the returns are coming in now from the New Hampshire primary. With about half the precincts reporting, it appears that John Kerry has won this second round as the Democrats try to sort themselves out. Let's go to Dean. Howard Dean is making a statement right now. Let's pick some of this up live. Go ahead, Kathy.
Get the final say, not us.
How did you lose that big lead you had of a month ago in this state?
Well, it was Iowa that did it. The Iowa bounce is real. It makes a difference. I was pleased to recover. We were even further behind when I came back from Iowa. You know, we'd been knocked down pretty hard by everybody while we were the front runner, and we're not the front runner anymore, but I'm still determined to change the country, and we've got a lot of people out there who want real change in America.
Bob Woodward, do you have a question for Governor Dean?
Governor, as you traveled around New Hampshire, how about the war issue, the Iraq war issue? What were you hearing from people? A lot of polling suggests that is no longer the big issue. Did you sense that?
I think that's true. I think the significance of the war issue for me is that I was willing to stand up against the war when nobody else was. And that's kind of my trademark, is standing up for what I think is right, not always what's popular. So the war, I agree, was not the most popular issue. I never thought of it.
All right. Howard Dean doing a Q&A with a panel on the Larry King program on CNN. And we're going to leave it there for a while and come back a little bit later as the perhaps when Kerry makes his victory statement, which we expect momentarily. Listening to the pundits on CNN a little bit earlier, they had Begala and Carville on Wolf Blitzer. Now they have one thing I've decided: Judy Woodruff ought to just go ahead and quit CNN and go to work for Fox. You know what I'm saying? So should Candy Crowley. I really think they should. If you have a comment on this at this early part of the returns coming in, with half the returns, it appears that Kerry has won, Dean second, Edwards third, Clark fourth, Lieberman fifth, and Dennis Kucinich in last place with about half of the precincts reporting in New Hampshire. Now, whether this means anything or not is open for complete debate. Bob Dole lost in New Hampshire in 96, and went on to win the Republican Party nomination. The fact that Kerry has apparently won two, a caucus and a primary now, is giving the Kerry family an awful lot of, or the Kerry campaign an awful lot of confidence. One thing to keep in mind also, Donna Brazile, who ran Al Gore's campaign, winning campaign in 2000, the man who won the United States presidency until one Supreme Court justice, whose vote outweighed 52 million Americans, decided that the election should go to Bush. Donna Brazile's team is working for John Kerry. So the political operatives who got Al Gore elected to the presidency in 2000, before this neo-fascist coup occurred in this country, those people are now working, a lot of them, for John Kerry. So an indication then, perhaps, that Kerry has put together, either by design or just to because somebody said hire these people, has put together a winning team. I don't know how this. I don't think this is an indication yet, but the Democrats need to go ahead and form a phalanx behind John Kerry and say, okay, Kerry's our candidate. Let's crush George W. Bush. I think Bush is going to go down no matter who is the candidate. Hell, Al Sharpton, I think, could beat him at this point. But it is a clear indication of something, and that's what I kind of would like you folks to consider tonight for a while here while we do this particular bit. What does Kerry's back-to-back win, first in the caucuses in Iowa and on the primary in New Hampshire, what does it mean, if anything? To the Dean organization, the thousands of people who have worked for Howard Dean, what does that mean? At one point tonight, I think Wolf Blitzer asking one of those half-assed questions, like Wolf Blitzer is so famous at doing, or an observation, perhaps it wasn't a question, but he used a war analogy or an army analogy, or somebody did. I think it was Blitzer, because Blitzer is the idiot on these on the CNN thing here. But I think it was something to the effect, Dean has an army. Kerry has an army. Kerry's army won. What's going to happen to Dean's army? Are they just going to, you know, fold up and go home? The analogy, of course, is ludicrous. Wolf Blitzer is ludicrous, and CNN is becoming ludicrous. But it does bring up a kind of, oh, to hell with it. Let's not even address that issue. But I do have the question, what is going to, in your opinion, is going to happen with the army, to use Wolf Blitzer's metaphor, the army of people who have worked so hard for Howard Dean up to this point? My feeling is they're just going to go on. Bob Dole, one of the people on this panel put together by CNN, said he didn't see anything that would cause him, Bob Dole, to think it's over at all. The fact that Howard Dean came in second, the fact that John Kerry won, really doesn't mean this much at that point. Interesting, to me it was interesting. Bob Dole was asked about the characterization of Howard Dean after the Iowa caucuses, of his, you know, his exuberance. The exuberance that media immediately labeled as anger and rage and inability to govern. God, they've been laid in the bushes for Dean, haven't they? All of these people have they just want to knock Dean out so bad. It almost makes me want to switch right now from Kucinich to Dean, but I can't. But don't they just want to beat him into a pulp. They will do anything to stop Howard Dean. Don't quite understand that, but that's, well, I do understand it, but that's, it's just grim to watch. But Bob Dole said he wasn't all that, he didn't think Howard Dean's boisterousness after the Iowa caucuses were that big of a deal. He said, you know, so what? So he got, you know, on to Iowa, on to Jim, on to, big deal. Remember the reports when George Bush, just prior to George Bush coming on television to announce that he was going to start murdering people in Iraq, murdering both Americans and Iraqis, George Bush pumped the air with his fist and got all red-faced and had to go to the bathroom. He was so excited. Remember when that was reported? I don't remember anybody saying George Bush is incapable of, based on that, incapable of being the president. Bush is incapable. He's demonstrated that with 3 years of mismanagement of this country. But so here we are. One of the pundits was saying that so many of the independents were voting in this Democratic primary, indicating a real red flag for these asses that are in the White House running Mr. Bush, Governor Bush. The indication here being very clear that independents, if independents do decide some of these key races in the United States, including the race for presidency, then Bush is toast, provided we have a backup system when the Republican Party tries to steal the election by the use of these phony voting machines. Plus, some of these pundits showed some statistics that something like 70% of people polled in New Hampshire said they were unhappy with the war in Iraq and the economy. So it looks like Bush is not popular up there in the only New England state that he carried in 2000. Now, Howard Dean just said that he didn't think the war was much of an issue anymore. It's the economy. We all know the famous slogan from Clinton's first term, it's the economy, stupid. I think that's true. It is the economy. I think most Americans are still unaware that George Bush violated his oath of office and therefore should be impeached by taking us into this war in Iraq. The evidence is out there all over the place now, even from people who were Bush administration apologists like David Kaye. David Kaye no longer works for George W. Bush, so now he is able to state categorically that there was no there. It was nothing to begin with. The world has known that George Bush was a liar. Now I think the American public is starting to understand that he was a liar. Is this an impeachable offense? Well, we said it was when Bill Clinton lied about sex with his girlfriend. But apparently when you lie about something as catastrophic as war, something as violent as death and bombing another country and sending 515 Americans to their deaths, that's not impeachable. That when you lie on that basis, it's not impeachable. But if you lie about sex with your girlfriend, that's impeachable. again, I don't have the vocabulary to express my contempt for people in this country, whether it's my next-door neighbor or somebody in California, a contempt for people in this country who fail to apply at least the same standard to the lying neo-Nazi in the White House that they applied to Bill Clinton. But that's a whole different program. Joe, our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief, is checking in. Yeah, Joe, what's up?
Yeah, I think these results are terrible. These voters in New Hampshire, they're trying to be prognosticators here or something, go along with the media, all this crap about John Kerry being the most electable and all that. I just don't think so. And you're talking about anyone else can beat Bush Jr. I'll tell you what, the war really does matter. One reason it still matters a lot is because it's a big reason why the economy is so crappy right now, why it's going to stay crappy, no matter who becomes president, and the deficit just going to get larger and larger and larger. And, John Kerry, what? John Kerry going to bring up the issue of weapons of mass destruction? I mean, that idiot voted for the war, and he's been flip-flopping and trying to make excuses for himself, been trying to rationalize for himself ever since he made that vote. And the man is an idiot, and I wouldn't vote for him if you paid me $100,000. I hate that guy. I mean, he is a Vietnam War veteran. He made that vote, and he ought to know better than anyone else.
Yeah.
He did the wrong thing.
You would think. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you checking in. 800-TALK, yes, is the number. Do join us. I'm Mike Malloy. Finally come. Deficits were gone, just opportunity knocking. The new millennium. And then a flawed election got us started on
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today?
Well, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
We're on a scavenger hunt for terror.
24 past the hour. The White House is now denying that it ever warned that Saddam Hussein posed an imminent threat to the United States. We'll have that and some other comments by Simple Scotty McClellan as he delves deeper and deeper and deeper into Orwellian newspeak today about Weapons Inspector David Kaye's remarks. And, of course, Scott McClellan, being the good brown-shirt Nazi youth member that he is, stays right on message, following Rose's instructions, reminding reporters of 911 at every opportunity. Dan is calling from North Canton, Ohio. Hey, Dan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. First of all, I just wanted to say I just bought a Sirius radio about 2 hours ago, and and the first thing I did was I saw the talk left, and I programmed it in on my my presets, and I love the show. It's excellent.
Well, thank you.
I've been flipping around a little bit. I wanted to address some more stuff about the primaries, if that's
sure,
okay.
Sure, absolutely.
I've been flipping around the news channels a little bit, and, you know, I heard something, a really interesting comment, which was that, you know, from a liberal commentator that said that one thing that Bush did for the Democrats that was really positive that we can do for ourselves is that he unified us. And I was thinking about that in terms of when you're asking the question about what's going to happen to Dean's supporters if he, you know, if he doesn't win or if he continues to fall behind. But, I'm a big Dean supporter. I love Howard Dean. I think he's definitely the person who could beat Bush. But I'll tell you, I definitely agree with that comment. Whoever wins the primary, I'm going to be voting for him, you know. I mean, I'll be out there supporting him just as, you know. The gentleman who just called a second ago about John Kerry, I don't really like him for, you know, for the candidate. I don't think he can beat Bush, but I don't think he's that stupid either. I mean, you know. I mean, right now we have a president that, I don't know about you, but I like my president to be smarter than me, you know.
As far as intelligence, that would be good. But one thing I would appreciate in a president is honesty where it concerns taking us to war, where it concerns our economic policies, where it concerns our relations with the environment and the rest of the world. George Bush is a lying neo-Nazi. He is the worst thing politically that's ever happened to this country. The only thing that might be worse is the rest of the Republican Party. They all have to be driven from office as quickly as possible, or we've lost this Republic.
I totally agree with you there. I wanted to comment about one other thing.
Sure.
I heard that you're a Kucinich supporter.
Yes.
I'm a registered Green, and I voted for Ralph Nader in the last election. And I think a lot about Kucinich when I you know listen to him talk, and I definitely have to say that my views are much more in line with Kucinich than any of the other. Primary candidates. But
then why not support him and work for him?
Because I don't think there's any possible way he could beat Bush. I think, and I don't mean this to put down the American people, but I think that we are too, we're not, you know, we're adults, we need to be told the truth, but it seems like we're too easily led just left or just right of center. And when you have someone as polarizing as Kucinich, it's hard to get more people under that banner, you know?
I could sit here and talk about this for hours because we have done it on this program over the past couple of years. Dennis Kucinich, with all due respect to your comment, Dan, Dennis Kucinich is not polarizing. Dennis Kucinich is nothing more or less than a standard working class blue collar Democrat. That's all he is. And if we've gotten to this point in this country, and we have, I'm not picking your words apart, but if we've gotten to the point in the country where a Democrat can't run as a Democratic candidate, then we've lost it.
I agree with that. You know, that's why I voted for Ralph Nader, was that I felt that, first of all, I was bamboozled into thinking that, you know, Bush was closer to center than he turned out to be. But also, I felt like, you know,
Dan, let me put you on hold for a second. I know you got a little more to say. We'll come back and right after the other side of this break. I've got to take a break here, and we'll have an update from our own news reporter, Don Waller, in New Hampshire when we return. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
an award-winning scientist, has some choice words for his colleagues. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists traditionally avoid terminology that reveals emotions or values. They keep their language objective and clinical. But David Suzuki says that sometimes keeps important ideas out of the discussion. Suzuki is an award-winning geneticist and the author of a new book called The Sacred Balance. The book examines our interactions with nature, and it was recently made into a series for public television. Suzuki defends his use of words such as sacred.
When scientists hear the word sacred or spirit, they get very, very antsy. We think science covers everything, and that if scientists can't make a statement about something, then it's not real and it's not important. This is absolute nonsense. I deliberately chose the word sacred to put into my book, The Sacred Balance, and in the series, The Sacred Balance, which is based on science, because I think scientists better get a hell of a lot more humble.
Suzuki compares our connections with nature to those people have with their houses. Each one is full of personal touches and special memories.
Those are the things that make my property a home. They are priceless to me. But when you put it on the market, they are worthless. Now, a scientist would say, oh, those are sentimental feelings. They're not real. Those are the most important things in our lives. Those are things that have to do with love and spirit. And don't tell me that they're not real or that somehow they demean the discussion. I think they're the most important things.
Suzuki says people often feel the same way about nature. He says those feelings are important, and he says they can help motivate people to value and protect the environment. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We are going to take John Kerry live here from CNN in just a moment. He's about to give some kind of a talk to his supporters, having decisively won this primary tonight. Also, in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Don Waller from Take Back the Media, who is live in New Hampshire with a report there. Right now, we're talking with Dan from Canton, Ohio, North Canton, Ohio. Dan. Go ahead and wrap it up for me, pal.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one last thing, and that was that before what you were saying about I was talking about Ralph Nader, and
right.
What I said, the reason I voted for him is because I really was, you know, his principles were the most in line with mine, with, you know, my thinking and everything, but
mm-hmm.
I think the mistake that I made was not getting behind the guy that could beat Bush, and this time around, like you were saying before about how, it's obvious they're trying to knock Howard Dean out
right.
so hard. They're trying so hard to knock him out. Not John Kerry, not the Democrats, but the media,
right.
And the reason is because they're deathly afraid of him, because he's the person that can most likely get rid of the hijacking moron that's in office right now.
I don't have any disagreement with that. And also, I think it's because that Dean is not a corporate Democrat. He
right.
is a Democrat, but he's not a corporate Democrat. And if you're not a corporate Democrat, that means you can't be controlled. And if you can't be controlled, they will do everything they can to stop you. Hey, listen, thanks, Dan. I appreciate you checking in. It'll be a stranger.
Thanks. Good talking to you. Thanks a lot.
All right, sir. Take care. All right, let's listen for a couple of moments here. John Kerry is about to speak. Kerry, who it appears is going to wind up with about 40% of the vote. Howard Dean second with about 26%. Let's see what Senator Kerry has to say.
I love New Hampshire. And I love Iowa, too. And I hope, with your help, to have the blessings and the opportunity to love a lot of other states in the days to come. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, New Hampshire, for lifting up this campaign and the cause of an America that belongs not to the privileged, not to the few, that belongs to all Americans. And let me tell you, this victory belongs to all of you who made the phone calls, walked the snowy, cold streets. Gave your hearts, your hands, and countless sleepless nights. You stayed the course here in New Hampshire. And because of you, this has been a successful and a happy campaign. And I make this pledge to you tonight. I have spent my whole life fighting for what I think is right and against powerful special interests, and I have only just begun the fight. This is our mission. I have a message for the influence peddlers, for the polluters, the HMOs, the big drug companies that get in the way, the big oil, and the special interests who now call the White House their home. We're coming, you're going, and don't let the door hit you on the way out. This victory belongs also in a special way to the veterans who marched with us. And they helped to lift us up from the lowest points to the point where we are today. I know that all of you will join me in saying a special thank you to Max Cleland and Jim Rassman. In the hardest moments of the past month, I depended on the same band of brothers that I depended on some 30 years ago. We're a little older and a little grayer, but I'll tell you this, we still know how to fight for our country. And if I am president, I pledge... I pledge that those who wore the uniform of the United States of America will have a voice and a champion in the Oval Office. Now, this campaign goes on to places all over this country. And I ask Democrats everywhere to join us so that we can defeat George W. Bush and the economy of privilege. And so that we can fulfill the ideal of opportunity, not just for some, but for all Americans. I ask those of you who are not yet part of this campaign to go to johnkerry.com. And I want you to march with us across this land and demand a government that's on your side again. That is the mission of this campaign. And together we can lift our country up to the America that all of us know that we can become. So stand with me. Stand with me, and together we're going to give America back its future by repealing the Bush tax cuts for wealthy Americans and investing in health care and education, children. Stand with us. Stand with us, and together we will build a prosperity in this country where Americans are not just working for the economy, but the economy is working for Americans. A prosperity A prosperity where we will reduce the poverty of millions rather than reducing the taxes of millionaires. A prosperity where we create jobs here at home and where we shut down every loophole, every incentive, every reward that goes to some Benedict Arnold CEO or company that take the jobs overseas and stick Americans with the bill. Stand with us, and together we will give America the fundamental decency of health care that is affordable and accessible, and a right and not a privilege that is available to all Americans. And we will make the same plan available to all Americans that is available to senators and congressmen, because your health care stand with us, and we will fight for an America where Medicare is protected, where health care costs are kept down, and where your family's health care is just as important as any politician in Washington, D.C. Stand with us.
Okay, we're going to break away from that. It's turning into a campaign speech rather than he's finding his. I'm trying to be patronizing here, condescending, but I think in terms of this campaign, John Kerry is beginning to find his rhetorical legs, so to speak. Pretty inspiring speech if you are a Kerry supporter. If you are not a Kerry supporter at this point, if you're just a Democrat who's still waiting to see how this thing shakes out, it was still kind of, especially a little bit about, we're 30 years older, we're a little bit grayer, but relying on veterans, the Band of Brothers, as he put it. Can you imagine George Bush making a statement like that? No, neither can I. All right, let's talk with Don Waller from Take Back the Media, who handles the newscast along with his partner Michael Stinson on this network, who is joining us, I believe, from New Hampshire. Is that right, Don?
Actually, Mike, I'm back in New York. I had to hightail it back here to beat this storm that's beating us up here right now.
Ah, okay.
Somebody's got to file the news, you know.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And, since you don't have the kind of budget that, say, Peter Jennings does, I guess.
Oh,
you...
if I had a tenth of his budget.
You have to move around a little bit. I hear that. So what was it like up there?
Oh, I'll tell you, it was absolutely amazing. I went up on Friday, and I left yesterday morning. Take Back the Media did two town hall meetings, one in Manchester on Friday night and one in Portsmouth on Sunday night. And I got to tell you, I've never, ever seen the level of activism that the people of New Hampshire bring to a presidential primary. It is amazing.
It's the only primary where people actually get to talk with and have a breakfast with and press the flush with candidates. From this point on, is this not true, Don? From this point on, it's going to be speeches on the tarmac, sound bites, TV commercials. The New Hampshire primary, as much as people might want to try to denigrate it or minimize it or make fun of it, it's where people actually get to talk and walk and listen to the candidates.
Yeah, and we had a very interesting meeting on Sunday afternoon. We had lunch and did a lengthy interview with Steve Fowle, who runs the New Hampshire Gazette.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us volumes of local color.
Yeah, bet.
As far as everything goes. But I saw it with my own eyes. I mean, the wind chill on Sunday in Portsmouth, which is near the water, must have been 15 degrees below zero at its best point.
Mm-hmm.
But on every street corner, we pulled up, we did our show in a Unitarian church in Portsmouth. The street outside the church was lined with Dennis Kucinich supporters, which I guess you can take a little heart with that. And they were there all day in the cold. Other parts of town, there were crowds of Clark supporters, crowds of Dean supporters, and they were bundled up like Eskimos.
Mm-hmm.
They were dressed against the cold, but they were out there all day long. And it's an amazing thing to see. And from what Michael told me today, things building up to the end of the primary just got crazier and crazier. And part of what I wanted to call you about, Mike was outside the restaurant, the Merrimack restaurant in Manchester this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where CNN is broadcasting from.
Right.
And it seems when this is probably an IE America and Take Back the Media exclusive at this point, when Bob Novak came out of the restaurant, somebody got up in his face and started calling him a traitor, and Novak turned around and shoved the guy.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the guy that he shoved is a good friend of Take Back the Media. He's a big fan of our radio show, and he kind of was accompanying us around the state. Mm-hmm. And the late report that I got from Mike about 20 minutes ago is that he's filed a complaint against Novak for pushing him.
Super, because the statement is correct. Anybody who does what Novak did and then uses an honorable tradition of a shield law for reporters, anyone who did what Novak does, is a traitor, is a coward, and just should be removed from CNN and the Chicago Sun-Times. Hold on a second, will you?
Sure.
We'll come right back, Don. We've got to take a quick break here. We're talking with Don Waller, who used to be our Long Island bureau chief, is now, along with Michael Stinson, does the news for IE America Radio Network. We'll join Don again in just a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
think American people, now that they've realized I'm going to seek re-election, expect me to seek re-election.
Sit down and shut up. We're talking with Don Waller, who, along with Michael Stinson, has TakeBackTheMedia.com and also handles the newscasts on this this network. Where were we, Don?
Oh, we were talking about Novak. And I'll tell you, the question that I would posit to CNN at this point is, if what they've been telling us about Howard Dean for weeks and weeks, that he's an angry man, if that's so bad, then why is it okay to have an angry man like Bob Novak as a pundit on their network?
Well, you know, I've noticed, I've noticed lately, Bob Novak either I don't know, something's going on. The way he puts the sentences together, the sound of his voice, some of his body language, I don't know. Something is going on with Bob Novak. I keep thinking, what are those little strokes called when you have those TIAs? They're called.
Yeah.
That could be happening. I'm not sure. Or the pressure is starting to mount on this guy. But there's something wrong, and I would not be surprised in the next week or 10 days or 2 weeks we hear either he's died or he's in a hospital with something seriously wrong. That's just my impression.
Yeah. Well, it does seem that the pressure is getting to him. He did seem a little distracted today on Crossfire.
Maybe it's just low blood sugar.
Yeah. Maybe it's
which can make you do really, really weird things.
Yeah, it could be those old bones rattling around up there in New Hampshire, because I got to tell you, that's the coldest I've been in a long, long time.
What do you make of Kerry's decisive, and I don't care who any of us back, decisive win in New Hampshire tonight?
Well, you said it before. His campaign, you know, they all but wrote him off a couple of weeks ago when everyone was in the midst of the Dean frenzy. But it just seems that he's getting his campaign on track. His message is starting to come through. I love the fact that he identifies so heavily with the veterans, and I think that's really, really going to help him as the campaign season goes on.
Go ahead.
There are so many veterans, and we talk to them all the time. The people that are in contact with us at Take Back the Media, because Michael is a veteran himself of the Air Force, there is a large contingent of veterans from all over the country that send us emails on a very constant basis saying, I'm just not voting for this guy, and they were looking for someone else to vote for. Now, if Kerry should go ahead and take this thing over, I mean, he does have the momentum, and that will mean dollars coming out of New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
He could steal a lot of the military vote away from Bush.
Can you hold on again?
Sure.
All right, let me put you on hold, and I'll come back. I want to talk to you for just another moment. Excuse me, about Kerry's campaign, and then we'll take the phone calls on hold here, too. Stay with us, y'all. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York.
We are determined to turn this country around from the radical direction that George Bush is taking it.
That's Senator John Kerry on the campaign trail in New Hampshire. 22 delegates are up for grabs. New Hampshire citizens are voting in the first primary of the 2004 presidential election, and the winner will seize the momentum as the process moves forward. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean says whoever wins can mount a successful challenge to George W. Bush.
No matter who wins the nomination, I will cheerfully support whoever it is because anybody on that ballot is better than what we got today.
Polls close in New Hampshire at 8 o'clock, and the New Hampshire primary will draw to a close. Wesley Clark won the initial few votes cast early Tuesday morning in the northern hamlets of Dixville, Notch, and Hart's location, but final pre-primary polls rate Curry as the favorite. A federal judge has ruled that a section of the USA Patriot Act is unconstitutional, the first time any part of the sweeping 2001 anti-terrorism measure championed by the White House has been struck down. U.S. District Judge Audrey Collins ruled that a measure of the act that bars giving expert advice or assistance to groups designated foreign terrorist organizations is too vague, threatening First and Fifth Amendment rights. The judge's ruling said the law, as written, does not differentiate between impermissible advice on violence and encouraging the use of peaceful, nonviolent means to achieve goals. Three American soldiers were killed and one was wounded in a large explosion west of Baghdad Tuesday, the U.S. military said. Hospital staff said two Iraqi civilians were also killed. The casualties occurred in a large explosion, a U.S. Central Command spokesman said. He said he had no idea what caused the blast. The spokesman said three soldiers were killed and one soldier was injured. Speaking on condition of anonymity, the spokesman said he had no other details. Two CNN employees were killed and a third was lightly wounded Tuesday afternoon when the cars they were traveling in came under fire. The employees were returning to Baghdad in a two-car convoy from an assignment in the southern city of Hilla when they were ambushed on the outskirts of Baghdad. More news after this.
Hello, I'm Rita Moreno. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts to get more information about vision and aging or to find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems. Call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
The finding of a parrot with an almost unparalleled power to communicate with people has brought scientists up short. The bird, a captive African gray called Nikisi, has a vocabulary of 950 words and shows signs of a sense of humor. Nikisi is believed to be one of the most advanced users of human language in the animal world. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Just before Christmas, I read a touching story about some parents who are not going to be at home with their children for the holiday season. Why? Because they were in jail, mostly for small crimes. I thought of these parents locked behind bars a couple of weeks later when I read about the impassioned pleas of Andrew and Leah Fastow. Andy was chief financial officer of the disgraced Enron Corporation, and Leah was assistant treasurer there. Both are among the 18 Enroners who've been charged so far, and both were looking at long jail time. Their crimes are not exactly small stuff. Andy faced 98 counts of fraud, money laundering, and conspiracy to cheat investors and siphon millions of corporate dollars into his own pockets through a Byzantine network of off-the-books partnerships that he created. Leah was charged with conspiracy and tax fraud and hiding kickbacks related to these partnerships. Their self-serving schemes led to the collapse of Enron, costing some 5,000 people their jobs and decimating the savings of employees, retirees, and other small investors. Unlike the parents I had read about earlier, however, The Fastows are rich and have top-dollar lawyers, so they have worked out a plea bargain that cuts his jail time to 10 years and hers to 5 months. Now, here comes the touching part. Andy and Leah have 2 young boys and were adamant in their plea bargaining that both parents not have to be in jail at the same time. It's for the children's sake, they said, wailing that it was inhumane to incarcerate both parents and leave their boys to be raised by others. This is Jim Hightower saying, excuse me, but it just might be good for the boys if someone else had a hand in raising them for a while, since Mommy and Daddy have such sorry ethical standards. Why should Andy and Leah get privileged treatment when parents who have done far less are in jail and are told that they can't even get a break to see their kids at Christmas time?
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however, each month. You'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Howard Dean is making a statement now. It's live on CNN. Let's take some of this. If everybody would just hold on for us a second here, let's see what Howard Dean has to say.
In your living rooms, meetups, the Merrimack restaurant. I really appreciate all that you've done. The people of New Hampshire have allowed our campaign to regain its momentum, and I am very grateful. The people of New Hampshire have allowed all of you to hope again that we're going to have real change in America. For those of you who believe that America needs real change and someone in the White House who's really delivered change, we're all together in this. Stand with us to the very end, which is January 20th, 2005. For those of you who think that America needs a president who's willing to stand up for what's right, not just what's popular, we are all together again. Stand together, all of us. To those of you who believe the best way to beat George Bush, in fact, the only way to beat George Bush is to stand up to him all the time, not just when it's convenient, not just some of the time. Tonight, the people of New Hampshire have asked for change, a real change. We can change America, and we will. We can have jobs again in America, and we will. We can join every other industrialized nation on the face of the earth and have health insurance for all Americans, and we will. We can invest in families with small children and have those kids grow up to go to college instead of prison, and we will. We can demand for our young people a better future, a solution to global warming, getting us off foreign oil by investing in renewable energy, and we will. We can regain the moral leadership that this country has held from the end of World War I until the time of the Iraq invasion by having a foreign policy based on cooperation, not confrontation, and we will. We can return our school systems to the control of local school boards, fully fund special education, and get rid of the federal mandates of No Child Left Behind, and we will. We can get rid of the president's pharmaceutical bill and instead have a pharmaceutical bill that's helped seniors instead of insurance.
Okay, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean giving his speech to the troops out there, again to use Wolf Blitzer's analogy from earlier this evening. Howard Dean coming in second, apparently, in the New Hampshire primary, about 12 percentage points behind the winner, John Kerry. We're talking with Don Waller from TakeBackTheMedia.com and also one of the co-anchors on this network's newscast. Don, first of all, before we go back to Kerry, do you have any comments on what Dean is saying? It's interesting that he is much subdued.
Well, you know, he's trying to lose the angry label that they pinned on him in the last couple of weeks. But what I was struck with listening to that speech, if whoever becomes, say, let's just go hypothetical and say if Kerry becomes the nominee, he could do an awful lot worse than choosing Howard Dean as a vice president, mm-hmm. you know, as a running mate, because Dean is already saddled with either the passionate or the angry tag, and he could, in effect, to use a bad analogy, he could become John Kerry's Spiro Agnew. He could be the guy out there taking it to Bush every day while Kerry remains presidential,
mm-hmm.
and it could work. I'm at this point, you know, it's still very early in the process,
right.
But I'm just kind of juggling combinations in my head mm-hmm. to see what would work.
Well, in your newscast right at the top of the hour that you obviously had recorded earlier, you have a soundbite of Howard Dean saying that he will support whoever the Democratic Party nominee is, and he says this without any tone to his voice, any kind of defeat. He's just very clearly stating, I think, the larger issue here, and that is to end permanently this Bush administration. Now, this is the second time that he's brought this up. In one of the early debates, he asked for a show of hands among all 11, I believe at the time there were 11 candidates seeking the Democratic nomination. He said, well, everybody on this stage pledged to support the Democratic nominee. Now, granted, everyone raised their hand, but it was Howard Dean who brought that up. And then again, in your newscast tonight, he says he'll support. Now, I have to say, I certainly like that. Like's not the word I'm looking for, but I like to hear Howard Dean or any candidate say that, because it immediately, I think, eliminates the attitude that most people have about the Democratic Party, that we're just fractionalized.
Yeah, and that was, I had some worries about that early on, that we were just going to claw each other to bits.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that was while there were more people seeking a spot in the race, basically. But it seems to, after the entire, you know, Howard Dean performed a couple of really valuable services early on in the primaries. First, he made it okay for all the other candidates to come out and attack George Bush, and he hit upon that straight away in his speech there.
Right.
That whoever it is has got to hit him, and hit him hard, and hit him every day, because that's exactly what Bush is going to do mm-hmm. to whomever.
And Howard Dean just pointed out something very true. If you read between the lines, it might be a slam of the other candidates, but he came right out and said it anyway, that he has been a vocal critic of the Bush administration from day one. He hasn't aligned himself with Bush when it was advantageous. He's been a critic of this criminal administration since day one, and I think that's a very important thing to remember. So many of the congressional candidates who are running, I'm leaving Kucinich out of this, of course, because Kucinich is the only one, Dean included, who said there are no weapons of mass destruction from day one. But
right. But
I think Dean is making a very salient point here where it concerns these so-called front runners, and that is that Dean, has from the beginning made it clear that he stands against the Bush administration, whereas the rest of these folks from Lieberman to Kerry have not necessarily been that way. Now, yeah. The last thing I want to ask you, the veterans for Kerry and his winning after he won tonight, his speech at his campaign headquarters, he mentioned the support he got from veterans. The most obvious, of course, is from former Senator of Georgia, Max Cleland.
Yeah.
But Wesley Clark is a veteran too. Clark was a NATO Supreme Allied Commander. Is there something here, Don, that you see where the veterans, while they could be split, they're going to go more for Kerry because Kerry was a junior officer. He was only a lieutenant, I believe. He was the highest rank he got. And Clark, let's face it, Clark was number one in his class at West Point. Clark is an elite officer.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that if it comes down to the veterans' vote, it's going to go towards more toward Kerry.
Yeah, I believe so. And I think on a very pragmatic level, you also have to think that Kerry is the guy with the experience. You've got two military guys. You've got one military guy that is running as a non-government person.
Mm-hmm.
But Kerry knows the nuts and bolts. He knows what an appropriations bill is. He knows how the Senate works.
Yeah, I don't believe that I'm an outsider, vote me in nonsense anymore. I used to believe that. But you have got to understand how the system works or the system's going to roll you.
Absolutely.
So on to South Carolina. Are you guys going to South Carolina or?
I'm not sure yet. I know I'm going to be here in New York filing the news like I always do. I do want to bring up one quick point. I've been surfing around the web and looking at some things. An interesting point in the Republican primary. Democratic candidates drew about 6% of the vote.
Really?
Yeah.
Now,
chief among them, John Kerry got nearly 2%. Howard Dean got 1.5%. And a couple other people showed up. Our friend John Buchanan got 1.3%. He was out with us over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But if you add it all up, there's about nearly 6% of the Republican primary vote was split among the Democratic candidates. I don't know if that means anything, but it's an interesting statistic to point out at this point.
Well, maybe even Republicans are starting to realize that George Bush and Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz and the rest of these people are consciously and deliberately trying to destroy this country, and maybe we can step back from the brink. Don, thanks a lot for calling in. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll be checking with you later.
Always a pleasure.
All right, sir. Take care. Don Waller, who is a rock star, our Long Island bureau chief, until he graduated to being part of the news team with Take Back the Media that provides a newscast for this network, he and Michael Stinson. 800-TALK-YES is the number. John is calling from Philadelphia. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Good. I'm glad I almost worry whether I pushed the right button or not.
You did. You did indeed.
You know, I was thinking under normal circumstances, as you might remember, I'm a Kucinich supporter. But under any other circumstance,
hey, can I get you to hold on? There's some music. I didn't realize we were that close. We'll take you as soon as we come back, right after the break. Okay.
Cool.
All right. Everybody else, stay on hold. Stay with me. We'll take your call when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Okay, here we go. That Comic Book Show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, That Comic Book Show.
Hi, Steve. I'm Schroeder. Can I get you boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude. I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off.
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, we're talking with John, who has called in from Philadelphia. John, go ahead. Thanks for holding on.
Oh, no problem. Yes, listening to Kerry and then later to Dean's speech, and I was thinking that under ordinary circumstances, they would be inspiring, you know, if we had any other kind of a situation facing us. I think we would all be looking forward to another, you know, run-of-the-mill Clinton-esque Democrat. And we've put up with it before, and we'd be happy enough to put up with it again. But now the situation is so dramatically different, and the tenor of the nation has been changed and affected so dramatically by these neocons and and Bush, that we have, I think, an entirely different set of circumstances, and a set of circumstances which I think renders the New Hampshire election, the New Hampshire primary, even somewhat almost irrelevant. I think, in fact, all of the early primaries will be irrelevant. Sure, I got a bachelor's in political science, so I'm not going to make it like I'm speaking like the voice of God. But in the past, they might have been some kind of an indicator. Now, I think people are only starting to get interested. I made 50 phone calls last week into New Hampshire supporting Dennis. Of the 50 people that I spoke with, only two had planned to vote for Dennis Kucinich.
Mm-hmm.
When I finished the 50 phone calls I had gotten, and I wasn't really out to proselytize that much. It just supposed to be a little bit, you know?
Right.
But people were so hungry for information that by the time I finished these calls, there were now going to be 10 people who were going to vote for Dennis Kucinich.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my 20 points out of it. In other words, if we could write this large, if everybody who supported Dennis did that, Dennis would have ended up with 20%. And I think that may happen because when I talked to these people, the thing was, oh, I didn't know that.
Right.
And I listened to John Kerry just a minute. He kind of almost tried to preempt Dennis a little bit by suggesting that he wants health care to be a right, not a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
But all John Kerry wants to do, and all Howard Dean wants to do, and any of the occupation candidates, all of the occupation candidates want to do the same thing. They want to give us the right to buy health care insurance. They want to give us the right to borrow money or to go into the Army to pay for a college education.
Mm-hmm.
And with that attitude, those guys, and this is really critical about the concept of electability, when you put those guys up against Bush, while you and I may say we see plenty of difference between Bush and Kerry and Bush and Dean, when you take Joe Average American out there and he sees, wait a minute, Bush wants to keep us in Iraq for God knows how long and avoid a Shiite government.
Right.
Dean wants to do that. Kerry wants to do that. And all of them say they want to do something for us as far as health care is concerned. But no one actually wants to do it dramatically different. The only candidate, and I say this from a marketer point of view, the only candidate who has significantly differentiated himself from Bush is Dennis Kucinich.
And you
also,
know, I was just, well, yeah, and I hate what I'm about to say, but let's be since we're being realistic here, the fact that the only candidate, viable candidate, is Dennis Kucinich the only viable candidate who has clearly delineated or defined himself as opposed to this Bush nonsense, is Dennis Kucinich, is probably the reason he cannot be elected. Even if he were to somehow hold on, even if he were to somehow get the Democratic Party nomination, and you know as well as I do, and I would hope that everyone listening to this program understands this, the American people, for the most part, are terrified of change.
Oh yeah.
Even small incremental change scares the living Christ out of us. That's the reason the DLC came into being. That's the reason that the Democrats decided to be Republican light, because they the titular Democrats wanted to win elections, but they knew that the American public was terrified of making a change and any sort of change. And this is I think one of the reasons that we are in the terrible situation that we're in. John, let me put you on hold one more time. We'll talk another minute when we come back, because I know you've still got more to say, and then we'll move on to the other calls. So stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
When W goes home, so glad, the worst president we ever had. He's a damn shame, a big liar. He plays like he's Jesus while the world's on fire.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
award-winning scientist, has some choice words for his colleagues. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists traditionally avoid terminology that reveals emotions or values. They keep their language objective and clinical. But David Suzuki says that sometimes keeps important ideas out of the discussion. Suzuki is an award-winning geneticist and the author of a new book called The Sacred Balance. The book examines our interactions with nature, and it was recently made into a series for public television. Suzuki defends his use of words such as sacred.
When scientists hear the word sacred or spirit, they get very, very antsy. We think science covers everything, and that if scientists can't make a statement about something, then it's not real and it's not important. This is absolute nonsense. I deliberately chose the word sacred to put into my book, The Sacred Balance, and in the series, The Sacred Balance, which is based on science, because I think scientists better get a hell of a lot more humble.
Suzuki compares our connections with nature to those people have with their houses. Each one is full of personal touches and special memories.
Those are the things that make my property a home. They are priceless to me. But when you put it on the market, they are worthless. Now, a scientist would say, oh, those are sentimental feelings. They're not real. Those are the most important things in our lives. Those are things that have to do with love and spirit. And don't tell me that they're not real or that somehow they demean the discussion. I think they're the most important things.
Suzuki says people often feel the same way about nature. He says those feelings are important, and he says they can help motivate people to value and protect the environment. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're talking with John, who's called in from Philly. Do you agree that Americans are terrified of change, and that is could be from the very beginning the absolute kiss of death on Dennis Kucinich? John,
right.
Is because he represents change. Sad to say, but he now represents change.
I do agree with you to a certain extent. That, namely, I do agree that Americans don't like change. However, they didn't like the fact that we had a horrendous economy under Bush the First, so they changed from Bush the First to Clinton. I think that as the Americans realize, and it's becoming more and more apparent every day, as we begin to realize that we were lied into a war, then when we begin to pile on top of that lie a failed economic policy, a failed environmental policy, a failed educational policy, an overall failed foreign policy, when all of these failures come in, Americans will change just like they buy a new car for a change. Unfortunately, it's a terrible example, and I'd like to see Dennis win for a whole lot better reasons, but simply from the point of view that Dennis represents a clear differentiation over the past, whereas the occupation candidates do not. The occupation candidates are going to be perceived. They're the ones who are going to have a tough time beating because they won't represent a significant change from last year's model.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Sure.
What I'm saying is, yeah, Americans will change if they see that this year's model is a whole lot better
as it were, you know, cheaper and runs better and is more comfortable. In this case, when you got a guy who's going to be able to come on and say, hey, look, I told you from the very beginning there were no weapons of mass destruction, there was no threat, and that this was all a lie. And furthermore, I told you that you have a right to health care and a right to an education, not just a right to borrow money for your education, not just a right to buy health care, but the same fundamental rights as every European has, as every member of every other civilized nation on the face of the earth has. These are rights, not privileges.
But Dennis has been saying that since the beginning of his campaign, and he managed to pick up 2% of the vote tonight.
That's right. And you know what's cool about that? Most people only pay attention to the election about 2 weeks ahead of the election. Now, I think the very fact that he got 100% more than he in New Hampshire than he did in Iowa.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
I think the message is just beginning to hammer home. I think some of the Dean people are going to find their courage. Some of the people who have been supporting Mr. Dean or Dr. Dean and General Clark are doing so because they were, you know, they know these guys are marionettes with pretty shallow second-class ideas, but they're thinking the same way. Well, maybe if we just sell them a shinier car, that'll get it done. But I think, well, don't get me wrong, I think they're all very well-intended, but I think many, many guys who are let's say, supporting some of the other occupation candidates, notably Clark and Dean, are going to say, well, yeah, I know my candidate was really behind the weapons of mass destruction stuff and all that, and I know they're, you know, lying like our rug, and I know Dennis is the only clean guy, and I know I really should. I think pretty soon they're going to start to find their courage.
Well, I would like to hope you're right, but on the other hand, you know, you just brought up the election in 92, where George Bush the First was tanking the economy, and you pointed out that people wanted to change, so they went for Clinton. I would kind of disagree with that because of the Ross Perot factor. If you take, you know, Clinton did not get a majority. He had a plurality. I think he only had 42% of the vote the first time he was elected president. Stop for a moment and consider, had Ross Perot not been in there, I honestly believe, because I have so little faith in the American public, the people that vote, I honestly believe that Herbert Walker would have gotten a second term, and there never would have been a Clinton presidency. Not then, not ever. It would have been somebody else. So
I think right now, however, there is a much stronger desire on the part of, and we have to look at the people who listen to your show and the people who are on the internet as somehow being vanguards of the people in this case. These are Marxian concepts, but
right.
we are most aware and most alert and probably most conscious of the need for a change, and we're the people who are going to sell it, you know, ultimately to our friends and relatives and neighbors. But I think a lot of people are now beginning to say, yeah, we really got to get rid of this guy. So the concept now is, I think any Democrat can win. It's up to us now to make sure that the best Democrat does win. In other words, I'm suggesting to you, God help us, that if Lieberman were the candidate, he could potentially win if all the Democrats got behind him. Mm-hmm. Now, the drawback is, as we've already said, is that because we don't like change, And if we're going to change, we really want to see something better. If we look at Lieberman, do we have a whole lot of motivation to change? I mean, Joe Average, right. Does he have a whole lot of motivation to change? No,
right.
But if he sees something truly better, will he change? Will he change if he says, wait a minute, healthcare free without raised taxes, education for my kids going to college free without raised taxes, we can actually cut back on the Pentagon without hurting our defense. It just means we can't put nuclear weapons on Mars.
Well, John, I've got to move on. I hope you're right. I certainly agree with most of what you're saying. I hope it comes to fruition, the idea that Americans are not afraid to change. Just in my experience over 40 years of political consciousness, that I find just the opposite to be true, that Americans are terrified of change. John,
thank you and I,
yeah?
Especially you in the position that you're in, Don't you think we have a little bit of an edge this time? Because I just suspect that there's an edge this time.
Well, I hope so.
Motivating change.
I hope that's the case. John, thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. I hope that's the change. I hope that's the truth. I hope it's true. I hope the American public understands what these bastards in the Bush administration have done to our country, to our reputation, what they have done to our economy, what they have done in terms of redefining what constitutes an aggressive act against the United States. This little insignificant human being, Larry Klayman, I understand, is running for the Senate from Florida as a Republican, and he's already said that Cuba should be invaded because Castro is one of the biggest producers of chemical, biological weapons of mass destruction. Now, obviously, Larry Klayman is a foul bastard, but he's appealing to the Cubans in Miami-Dade who are willing to make a pact with the devil to get rid of Fidel Castro after 45 years. You know, they're just some of these people are near death. They have seen Castro in power since he overthrew the corrupt Batista regime way back in 59, 58, 59, 60. And a lot of these second, third-generation Cuban emigres are willing to make a pact with a piece of human waste like Larry Klayman, who makes a statement like Castro is producing biological weapons. I mean, this is sick. This is sick. And Klayman, to me, represents the mere fact that he can put together a candidacy, the mere fact that he can get press, the mere fact that people will vote for him indicates to me a real, just core-level sickness, political sickness in this country, which really doesn't necessarily tie into the idea that we hate change and therefore are unwilling to go with a real Democrat like Denis Kucinich, but somehow it seems to tie together, and I realize I'm talking way too much. So let me move. Who's this? Oh, good God, don't tell me. It's Smeagol again, the Gollum from Middle-earth? Smeagol?
Hi.
Yes, the Gollum. Hi.
Good master.
How are you tonight, Smeagol?
Iowa hurts us. New Hampshire tricks us.
Who tricked you?
New Hampshire.
I have.
New Hampshire.
Oh, New Hampshire. New Hampshire tricked you?
Yes.
How did New Hampshire trick you?
Well, we didn't do so good.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
We is announcing that we is running third-party candidacies.
Oh, you're going to run a third party now?
Yes.
Okay, and...
DNC Trixie Fuzz.
You're, hold on just a second. What did Smeagol say, Kathy? Say it again, Smeagol.
DNC Fuzz Trixie.
Trixie. The DLC is Trixie? Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Smeagol. I don't know. It's hard. You have to admit it's hard to understand you. But keep trying.
Well, we is running third party candidacy.
Does that mean you now have a third personality?
No, just two.
Just two. Okay.
Just two is fine.
Okay.
We is running on the Precious Party.
Precious Party.
Yeah, Treebeard has Green Party locked.
Yes, that's all locked down. Yeah, so it's the Precious Party?
The Precious Party.
Precious Party.
And I want to tell my supporters.
Yeah?
Not to give up.
Yeah, not to...
We is going to Hamilton. We is going to Rivendell. To Moria. We is going to Rohan. To Gondor.
Okay. How about be careful? The press will label you manic. You don't want that to happen. They'll say that you're
no. Good Smeagol isn't manic. Angry? No.
No.
I am. Yes. Very angry.
Yeah. Well, you don't want the press saying you're angry. You left off the Shire. Are you going to the Shire?
Kucinich has hobbits.
Oh, that's right. That's very true. Kucinich has that locked up. Well, as you go...
Iron doesn't do very well in agrarian-based society.
I think so. I think very well. So you're going to go on then to Rivendell and to all the way to... where else did you say you were...
We have backing of 20 supporters.
Yeah, 20?
20.
That's...
Three votes for
Yeah.
7 from the Dwarf Lords in the Horns of Stone.
Yes.
9 from Mortal Men Doomed to Die.
Yes. Yes, indeed. That's a lot of support.
And the Precious.
Yeah, for the Precious Party. What are your chances of getting the ring back from W then?
We send W to Mars.
You send him to Mars?
And then we take the Precious, and we be master.
You'll be master. Will you, you know, you scare me a little bit, Smeagol. I'm sorry. I understand that, you know, on the one hand, I kind of like you. On the other hand, you really make my skin crawl.
Don't forget good Smeagol's platform.
Yeah. Smeagol's platform?
We be nice to them if they be nice to us.
That's right. I'm sorry. I forgot that. We be nice to them if they be nice to us. But there is something about you that just kind of makes my skin crawl.
It's the anger thing.
The what?
The anger thing.
Oh, the anger thing?
Yeah, they were all over me on Hardball about it.
Were they? They got on you on Hardball, huh? Well,
like Chris Matthews not angry.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, like he's not angry. Yeah, I hear you. Do you have a website yet?
We is working on it.
Well, I understand Middle Earth is not wired yet for computers anyway, right?
We has Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Wi-Fi. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, Smeagol. That's good. Well. What about Galadriel's mirror?
We hooked into that.
I see. Lady Galadriel.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's okay, but you have to be careful when you look in there. Right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Well, Smeagol, is there anything else you want to say? Once again, the Smeagol platform is...
We be nice to them if they be nice to us.
That's right.
And we is going... to the Shire. We is going to Rivendell, to Gondor, to Mordor.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, Smeagol. Listen, and don't forget South Carolina. And check in with us again, okay?
Yes.
Okay, Smeagol. You have a nice evening.
Yes, Master.
Okay. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Smeagol. Yes, Smeagol, I want to say he, but I'm not sure that's right. Smeagol has to watch his, her, its anger. You got to be careful. On to Gondor, on to Rivendell, on to the Shire. Just be careful how you say it. Whew. we've got to get, well, look at the clock. Kurt is calling from Salem, Massachusetts. He's our bureau chief there. Hey, Kurt.
Mike, Smeagol rocks, man.
Oh, tell me about it. Smeagol rocks. I like his platform, or its platform. We'd be nice to them if they'd be nice to us.
Oh, God, even Republicans could understand that.
Don't go that far.
Well, good point.
Yeah,
Hey, I went and stumped for Dean over the weekend.
Yeah.
Since I moved up here, and it was a great experience. But what I want to say is congratulations to the Kerry folks. They've really come back and done a good job, but everybody who's kind of still on the fence out there, I'm a Dean guy, and let me just put it to you this way. For 3 years, Kerry has not been there when people have called us traitors and that we didn't support our country or for not following the line behind Bush, that we were getting hammered constantly, and there was only two guys really there. That was Dennis Kucinich and Dean.
That's right. Hey, listen, hold on. Can you hold on?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I realize you've been holding on all night, but let me put you on hold. I'll come right back to you, Kurt, and the rest of your phone calls, too. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Durr.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Oh, nice.
Come on.
The best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass. Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
And we'll have some more sound from Scott McClellan coming up after the break at the top of the hour. Right now we're talking with Kurt, our Salem, Massachusetts bureau chief. You're talking about only two Democrats, Dean and Dennis, had... say it again for us, Kurt.
I was going to say there were only two candidates, really, the last 3 years that had backed us up when people were calling... You know, liberals, traitors, and
right.
the Dixie Chicks were getting hammered and everything. It was Dennis and Dean. That's
right.
it. And to all those Dean supporters out there, you know, great job. This is we're doing fine. You know, he was a nobody a year ago. He was a laughingstock a year ago, and he got second place in New Hampshire today. That's pretty good.
What about that second place? I don't like these rankings anyway. I hate it. I think the people of New Hampshire did what the people of New Hampshire. Do, and that is they voted for what they consider of those who went to the polls to be the best candidate. But you know how the pundits, the media is spinning this. Kerry seems to be the one that corporate America has chosen. Now I don't know if that's true or not, and I hate to sound that way, but. What do you make of it? Let me get your opinion.
Well, after stumping around out there, there was a lot of money that suddenly poured in out of nowhere for Kerry, Kerry's folks. A lot of corporate money is backing him up, and I think, frankly, you're exactly right on, Mike. The media is selecting him instead of the rest of us selecting who our candidate's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Dean got hammered for the speech, which was nothing. In fact, it was kind of funny. I got my perfect storm hat, you know, the orange hat walking around, and part of our whole gig was we were cheering with that primal scream thing.
Right, exactly.
Well, it's cold as hell. You got to do whatever you got to do.
Yeah, and again, Kucinich of the six who look like they're going, at least made it through this round of these primaries and caucuses. Kucinich is the only one of the major candidates. Who did not promote the idea that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction. And it's just incredible to me that the man has not gotten the media, at least the media attention. John Kerry, a year ago, said, why is Saddam Hussein attempting to develop nuclear weapons when most nations don't even try? And according to intelligence, Iraq has chemical and biological weapons. Now, you can make the case that the Bush crime family lied, which they did, but John Kerry is a senator. I would think John Kerry could have found out that the bastards were lying.
Mike, you nailed it.
Yeah.
We rely on those guys to, you know, weed through all that garbage up there. We rely on them to go represent us. A 12-year-old kid with a dial-up modem knew that all that stuff was baloney.
Was baloney.
The Iraq War.
Hey, we have to leave it there. Thanks, Kurt.
Hey, guy, last thing, Mike, I want to say
quick.
I was going to say, Dean's had our back for the last 3 years, and now we've got his.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York.
And when you add up this real deficit to America, and I will add it up, it will be clear to all of America
that the one person in the United States who deserves to be laid off is George W. Bush, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
That's Senator John Kerry on the campaign trail in New Hampshire. 22 delegates are up for grabs. New Hampshire's citizens are voting, and the candidates are holding their breath, waiting to see who takes the nation's first primary of the 2004 presidential election. Attacks on George W. Bush escalated during the week, with Howard Dean assailing borrow-and-spend Republicans.
Borrow-and-spend. This is the credit card presidency. If you want a pharmaceutical bill, charge it to your grandchildren. You want a war in Iraq? $87 billion. Put it on the credit card for the grandchildren. We can do better than this, and we will do better than this when we return to sound fiscal management with a Democrat in the White House instead of a right-wing Republican.
Polls in New Hampshire close at 8 o'clock. Wesley Clark won the initial few votes cast early Tuesday morning in the northern hamlets of Dixville, Notch, and Hart's location, but final pre-primary polls rate Kerry as the favorite. Three American soldiers were killed and one was wounded in a large explosion west of Baghdad Tuesday, the U.S. military said. Hospital staff said two Iraqi civilians were also killed. The casualties occurred in a large explosion, a U.S. Central Command spokesman said. He said he had no idea what caused the blast. A federal judge has ruled that a section of the USA Patriot Act is unconstitutional, the first time any part of the sweeping 2001 anti-terrorism measure championed by the White House has been struck down. U.S. District Judge Audrey Collins ruled that a measure of the act that bars giving expert advice or assistance to groups designated foreign terrorist organizations is too vague, threatening First and Fifth Amendment rights. Two CNN employees were killed and a third was lightly wounded Tuesday afternoon when the cars they were traveling in came under fire. The employees were returning to Baghdad in a two-car convoy from an assignment in the southern city of Hilla when they were ambushed on the outskirts of Baghdad. More IE America Network news after this.
Hello, I'm Rita Moreno. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging or to find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Nothing stops the U.S. Postal Service from making its appointed rounds, not even a postcard addressed simply as On Top of a Big Hill. The postcard was mailed by a bookstore in Bridgeport to Helen English of Elkins, West Virginia, notifying her that a book she had ordered had arrived. It was addressed, Mrs. English, On Top of a Big Hill, Elkins, West Virginia, 26241. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Just before Christmas, I read a touching story about some parents who are not going to be at home with their children for the holiday season. Why? Because they were in jail, mostly for small crimes. I thought of these parents locked behind bars a couple of weeks later when I read about the impassioned pleas of Andrew and Leah Fastow. Andy was chief financial officer of the disgraced Enron Corporation, and Leah was assistant treasurer there. Both are among the 18 Enroners who've been charged so far, and both were looking at long jail time. Their crimes are not exactly small stuff. Andy faced 98 counts of fraud, money laundering, and conspiracy to cheat investors and siphon millions of corporate dollars into his own pockets through a Byzantine network of off-the-books partnerships that he created. Leah was charged with conspiracy and tax fraud and hiding kickbacks related to these partnerships. Their self-serving schemes led to the collapse of Enron, costing some 5,000 people their jobs and decimating the savings of employees, retirees, and other small investors. Unlike the parents I had read about earlier, however, The Fastows are rich and have top-dollar lawyers, so they have worked out a plea bargain that cuts his jail time to 10 years and hers to 5 months. Now, here comes the touching part. Andy and Leah have 2 young boys and were adamant in their plea bargaining that both parents not have to be in jail at the same time. It's for the children's sake, they said, wailing that it was inhumane to incarcerate both parents and leave their boys to be raised by others. This is Jim Hightower saying, excuse me, but it just might be good for the boys if someone else had a hand in raising them for a while, since Mommy and Daddy have such sorry ethical standards. Why should Andy and Leah get privileged treatment when parents who have done far less are in jail and are told that they can't even get a break to see their kids at Christmas time?
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
there's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. What we've been talking about most of tonight, as you well know if you've been tuned in, is the results of the New Hampshire primary, as important or non-important as they are. It's always a question that's wide open for debate, right? I still support Dennis Kucinich. As I've said, I'm going to continue to support him through this primary jujitsu that we are witnessing. And I'm certainly not stupid. I understand that Dennis has a very slim chance right now. But again, what never fails to amaze me is how many people who call this program who say, well, yeah, I think Dennis is the candidate I'd like to support, but it's more important to support somebody who can win, and we've got to get rid of Bush. Of course we got to get rid of Bush. I just wonder what would happen if Kucinich had gotten all the support from people who say they would support him and some media attention. But it's not over till it's over. Kucinich said the other day that based on the public record, 5 of his fellow candidates promoted the idea that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction. He issued a statement. Kucinich said, quote, the implications of this are enormous. They, that would be people like Kerry and Dean and you know, so on and so forth, they were either misled or looked the other way while Bush was using the alleged presence of weapons of mass destruction as a reason to go to war against Iraq. Either way, these candidates have seriously undermined their ability to win in the general election when Bush is obviously running for re-election based on his Iraq policies. Now, this is what I think, was it Kurt was making this point? Or was it our caller from Philly? I forget who it was. But the point being, Dennis is the only one who has really distinguished himself from the pack, with the exception of Al Sharpton. And again, until this country has decades more evolution, an American of African descent has very little chance of getting a major party presidential nomination. We all know that. But other than Sharpton, Kucinich has been the only one who has pointed out that there were no weapons. Kucinich said, and I think he issued this statement on Saturday. He said, yesterday the leader of the U.S. search for Iraq's alleged stockpiles of chemical or biological weapons said he didn't think there were any. Secretary of State Colin Powell now claims we went to war to find out whether such weapons existed. Senators Kerry, Lieberman, and Edwards, Dr. Dean, and General Clark all claimed that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and therefore contributed to the political climate which falsely justified a war. Kucinich goes on to say, in September of 2002, before five of my fellow candidates joined the president in claiming that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, I repeatedly and insistently made the point that no proof of that claim existed, and as such, there was no basis to go to war. 6 months later, even Dr. Dean was still claiming that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. And then he cites Kerry and Edwards and Clark and Sharpton and, Kerry, Edwards, Clark, Lieberman, and Dean. Their statements. I don't have to cite all these for you. You can find them at the Kucinich website. But Kucinich cites for attribution all of the statements by these other five candidates. And as the statement said, Kucinich led the effort in the House in challenging the Bush administration's march toward war. Kucinich attempted repeatedly to warn America that there was no basis to go to war. Now, I don't know if any of this makes any difference. Apparently, it does not. Some of the pundits said that what they were finding out in Iraq, in New Hampshire, and if you want to believe the pundits, fine. But what they were finding out is that the issue most important to the voters who went to the polls in New Hampshire today were the issues of the economy, domestic issues. That Iraq had taken a back burner, which I think is a horrendous mistake. I'm not saying that it should take precedence over the destruction that Bush has caused here and his neocon administration. But it should be at least of equal importance. We have Americans who are dying tonight. Tomorrow, you will hear of more dead Americans. George W. Bush lied us into a war. Is there anything more egregious that a president can do? If there is, for Christ's sake, well, somebody tell me what it is. Is there any worse act, a violation of your oath of office as President of the United States, then telling the American people over and over and over and over and having your entire administration tell the American people and the people of the planet lie after lie after lie. Is there anything worse than that? I tend to think there is not. But apparently I'm not in the mainstream here, which astonishes me. Astonishes me. Mainstream of Democrats. Republicans I wrote off a long time ago. They're non-human as far as I'm concerned. They've given up their claim to be humans because they have given away their minds and their sense of logic and their ability to think. But in terms of Democrats, Jesus, I am so non-mainstream, apparently. Because I don't hear, who do you hear? Do you hear people talking about removing George Bush, charging him, not just impeaching him, but charging him with treason, removing him from office and possibly putting him in a federal prison for what he's done. Jesus, why is that so not being talked about? Why? That's the part that I can't get my mind around. This is a man who took us deliberately and consciously into war for no reason, none. Except his own and his own greed and the greed of his backers and financiers and the people who are really running this country, and you don't have to put on your tinfoil hat for that one. You know who's doing it. You know, for God's sake, you know it. If you don't know it, you're a dumbass and you refuse to understand. If you don't know it, you are being willfully ignorant. You know how this country is run now in the age of Bush. But we impeached a president over lying about sex with his girlfriend. And yet here we sit, this monstrous administration. Oh, what's the point? What's the point? I guess my point is simply, why is this not a central point of a central presentation point in what our caller referred to as the occupation candidates, those candidates who believe the occupation of Iraq is somehow justified. Why is this not being brought up now? Now that all of them have the cover, you know, Kerry has the cover, Dean has the cover, Clark has the cover, Lieberman has the cover, Edwards has the cover. They have the cover now because of Kucinich to stand there and say, look, these people lied to us. These people lied to us. And in committing that kind of a lie, They're responsible for the deaths of 500-plus Americans in Iraq. They're responsible for untold thousands of deaths, civilian deaths, in Iraq. We'll leave Afghanistan off the burner here. I'm sorry, I don't get it. I simply don't. I don't understand. I don't. I guess I'm getting old. That must be it. I'm getting to the point where I think people get to the point where age drives them out of the mainstream of thought. Now, you older people can become sages, and they become wise, and so on and so forth. But or just drop out, just drop out, whatever. But sometimes I get that feeling. I get the feeling, and yet I look, and most of these guys, Kerry is my age. These people are mostly my age. What is wrong with them? Why is this not an issue? Why are these six Democratic candidates not screaming impeachment? Now, people will say, well, Mike, you can't do that. Christ, it's a political season. What do you expect? These guys are trying to get elected. They do that, and the media will jump all over them and label them as, look what they did to Howard Dean just because Dean got exuberant. Well, I guess that's a reason. That's a reason to let impeachment of a traitor just go by the by. Now, the Republicans, of course, they didn't have a problem with this. Where it concerned Bill Clinton, and subsequently they successfully painted Al Gore with the same brush. They didn't have any problem with it. Does somebody advise Republicans, don't go after a sitting president? Oh, my God, don't scream impeachment. Did somebody do that? I don't think so. I don't think that happened. And yet the Democrats won't do it. Why is that? Why is that? Now, I want to play for you some Scott McClellan from today. I don't have a soundbite on this one, but also from today. This comes from the Australian News. It says the White House today denied it ever warned that Saddam Hussein posed an imminent threat to the United States. Scott McClellan said today, I think some in the media have chosen to use the word imminent. Those were not words we used. We used grave and gathering threat. But if Bush never called Saddam's Iraq an imminent threat in so many words, he did say it was urgent, didn't he? Am I crazy? Are you crazy? Cheney called it a mortal threat and that it was immediate. Rumsfeld said it was a horrendous threat. In an October 7th, 2002 televised speech to the nation, Bush likened the standoff with Iraq to the October 1962 Cuban For Christ's Sake missile crisis. When Soviet missiles were revealed to be based just 90 miles off our shores. In the same speech, October 7, 2002, October a year ago, Bush warned that Saddam, quote, could decide on any given day to provide a biological or chemical weapon to a terrorist group or individual terrorists like the Al-Qaeda network, yada, yada, yada. Rumsfeld, in September 2002, said to members of the Senate, no terrorist state poses a greater or more immediate threat to the security of our people and the stability of the world than the regime of Saddam Hussein in Iraq. It goes on and on. Now what they're saying is, well, we never said any of that stuff. We never said that. There's a record out there. I told you, when did I tell you this? A couple of months ago. They don't even bother to spin and obfuscate and hedge. They just stand out there now and lie. The disrespect these rat bastards show for the American public is monumental. That's the kind of disrespect. The American public won't remember anything. The American public is watching American Idol. The American public is playing with itself. The American public will never realize that we are liars. We can stand here and say anything. And 6 weeks from now, we can say the exact opposite. And the American public will suck it up because the American public is stupid. That's how they look at us. Now, coming back, I'll play for you what Scotty McClellan did say today.
You think I'm choking and I'm wet with fear, but I made up my mind today.
Well, Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Now, before I play these sound bites for you, and there's not that many, I just want you to hear them. Our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, says, I'm only going to say a few words because all it takes is a few words to illustrate the importance of the lies put out there by the Bush crime family and the people that have died. And Chris writes the following. In the last 4 days, there have been two helicopter crewmen killed and a rescue boat crewman drowned. This happened on Friday. On Saturday, 5 soldiers were blown up by a car bomb. 6 more killed today in 2 separate car bombings. The total of U.S. soldiers killed since this slaughter started is now 519. In the last 4 days, 14 of those 519 have died. Everyone should sit and think about that for a minute. Yeah. McClellan, today, even after all the evidence from Hans Blix, Mr. Alberati, Scott Ritter, David Kaye, God knows how many other people, the White House is still holding on to the illusion that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction because of the disrespect that they feel for the American public. We are the same as Hitler felt for the German people in the 30s. One of the crack White House reporters asked Scott McClellan, Scott, on Iraqi weapons, is there any concern about the fact that the intelligence appeared to be incorrect? I mean, does the president share concerns expressed on Capitol Hill now about the fact that the intelligence does not appear to have been accurate?
We know from what Dr. Kaye has already uncovered that Saddam Hussein was in material breach. We very much appreciate the hard and difficult work that was undertaken by Dr. Kaye. Now you have Charles Dulfer, who will be heading up the Iraq Survey Group and finishing their mission. He will gather all the facts. He will draw as complete a picture as we possibly can so that we can learn the truth.
Can you believe that this brain-dead bastard is saying that? Now that they have another one who will gather all the facts so we can learn the truth? Hundreds of Americans are dead, thousands of Iraqis are dead, and Scott McClellan is still standing there in front of the White House press corps saying this. Another reporter asked this stupid man about the problem of Bush's credibility. The reporter says, Scott, isn't it also important, for the sake of American leadership in trying to control proliferation, to describe threats accurately? And hasn't this president and this government's credibility been damaged by the failure to find in Iraq those actual weapons? Not weapons of mass destruction program-related activities, but the actual weapons that the president, the vice president, secretary of state, secretary of defense, all told the American people and the world were there? Is the president at all concerned about credibility going forward in this crucial area of weapons proliferation?
The president, as he said earlier, wants to know the facts. And the Iraq Survey Group is gathering the facts. They're drawing as complete a picture as possible. And we should let them complete their work. Then we can go and compare what we knew before with what we learned after. But it doesn't change the bottom line. Saddam Hussein was a gathering threat. He was a grave and gathering threat to the world and to America. And it was important that we took the action that we did, particularly in a post-September 11th world that taught us the importance of confronting threats before it is too late.
Threats of what? To use invisible weapons of mass destruction? Saddam was a grave and gathering threat to America? How? For Christ's sake, how? How was he a threat, Scott? Now, the really crazy doublespeak begins in this next one. I'll play for you in a second. A simple Scotty talks about how Saddam defied the UN for 12 years. How could Saddam defy the UN by failing to hand over weapons he didn't have? We'll have the answer for you when we come back.
Did Saddam Hussein have a weapons program? And the answer is absolutely. And we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in, and he wouldn't let them in. Promises, your promises and lies.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse-click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse-click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
award-winning scientist has some choice words for his colleagues. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists traditionally avoid terminology that reveals emotions or values. They keep their language objective and clinical. But David Suzuki says that sometimes keeps important ideas out of the discussion. Suzuki is an award-winning geneticist and the author of a new book called The Sacred Balance. The book examines our interactions with nature, and it was recently made into a series for public television. Suzuki defends his use of words such as sacred.
When scientists hear the word sacred or spirit, they get very, very antsy. We think science covers everything, and that if scientists can't make a statement about something, then it's not real and it's not important. This is absolute nonsense. I deliberately chose the word sacred to put into my book, The Sacred Balance, and in the series, The Sacred Balance, which is based on science, because I think scientists better get a hell of a lot more humble.
Suzuki compares our connections with nature to those people have with their houses. Each one is full of personal touches and special memories.
Those are the things that make my property a home. They are priceless to me. But when you put it on the market, they are worthless. Now, a scientist would say, oh, those are sentimental feelings. They're not real. Those are the most important things in our lives. Those are things that have to do with love and spirit. And don't tell me that they're not real or that somehow they demean the discussion. I think they're the most important things.
Suzuki says people often feel the same way about nature. He says those feelings are important, and he says they can help motivate people to value and protect the environment. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles-Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer?
Yeah,
you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-seven before the hour. Now I want you to hear some really crazy doublespeak from Simple Scotty McClelland. The reporter says, stipulating the fact that the Iraq survey group still has a lot of work to do there, does the president believe that David Kay was correct or incorrect when he said that the evidence that America went to war on was inaccurate and wrong?
Well, the decision that the President of the United States made was based on the fact that Saddam Hussein was a gathering threat. That's why there were for 12 years, some 17 resolutions, he continued to defy the international community. In 1441, gave him one final opportunity to comply or face serious consequences. He chose defiance. And September 11th taught us that we must confront gathering threats.
Now, I can't think of when I have heard a more insane, literally insane, statement. For 12 years, Saddam continued to defy the international community. He chose defiance. Everybody who has looked, whether it's been Bush monster hirelings, the UN, the Israelis, the U.S. military, nobody has found anything because there is nothing there. And yet they continue because of the utter contempt that these people have for my common sense and your common sense. So finally, a brave reporter asked the question that I'm sure was on everybody's mind. How could Saddam defy a resolution when he possessed nothing in violation of that resolution? And therefore, Bush took us to war illegally, and he knew it. So the reporter asks this, but Scott, the president was always demanding that Saddam Hussein disarm, saying if he doesn't disarm, we'll disarm him. It now appears, based on David Kaye's statements, that the president and or the international community were asking Iraq to do an impossible task. There was nothing to disarm.
I would remind you of the progress report by Dr. Kaye and the Iraq Survey Group. And Dr. Kaye has made it very clear in his media interviews that I've seen that Iraq was a very dangerous place.
Oh my God. The president
pointed out in his remarks earlier that Saddam Hussein was a dangerous man in a dangerous part of the world in a post-September 11th era. We cannot rely on the good intentions of someone like Saddam Hussein. It's important to confront gathering threats before it's too late. And the decision that the President of the United States made was the right decision then, and based on what we've learned today, it's the right decision today.
It's important to confront gathering threats before it's too late. What was the gathering threat? What was Saddam gathering? No, the threat was what was made clear to the Clinton administration over 7 years in the late 90s. And all of that information was handed off to the Bush neoconservative fascists. But they wanted their war. All the information, everything that was given from the Clinton administration to the Bush administration was totally, categorically ignored. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that probably the most serious violation of international law, American law, morality, ethical behavior, everything this country has claimed it has stood for 200 plus years, everything was urinated on by Bush and his thugs. Bush and his thugs. Let me tell you what David Kaye said. Over the weekend, if you remember, he said Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction before the war, and that U.S. intelligence agencies missed the signs that would have told them that, which I don't necessarily believe. It looks like intelligence agencies are supposed to take the fall. If our intelligence is this bad, then we're in a world of hurt. Now, Kaye, as you know, was the CIA's chief weapons inspector until he resigned last week. His interim report last fall and his statement in the last few days is the difference is that he was still on the Bush administration's payroll when he wrote his interim report last fall, and he's a free agent now that he's come out and said, look, there's nothing there. For example, in an interview conducted Saturday and published in the New York Times yesterday, Kaye says, quote, I'm personally convinced that there were not large stockpiles of newly produced weapons of mass destruction. We don't find the people, the documents, or the physical plants that you would expect to find if the production was going on. End quote. Now, what all these reports indicate, and listen up now, Iraq's weapons and facilities, this according to David Kaye, had been destroyed in three phases. First, by Allied bombardment in the 1991 Gulf War. Then by UN inspectors in the 5 years after that war. And third, by Bill Clinton's 1998 bombing campaign. Now, in case you've forgotten, Clinton's airstrikes were dismissed at the time as a political diversion. Remember, they took place during the weekend when the House of Representatives voted for impeachment. But according to David Kaye, those airstrikes destroyed Iraq's remaining infrastructure for building chemical weapons. Now, how many times have you heard a lying, rat, bastard, right-wing radio or television thug talk about Bill Clinton didn't do anything? Bill Clinton didn't do anything to stop the attack on this country. When David Kaye now states categorically that it was three phases, the third phase engineered and handled by Bill Clinton. And you people are going to continue to listen to Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or the rest of these pigs? Kaye adds that Saddam Hussein tried to resuscitate some of these programs, but because of sanctions and the fear of inspections and the lack of resources, he was not able to do so. There was nothing there. There was no there there. Who has said that? Al Sharpton and Dennis Kucinich, among the seven remaining Democratic contenders for the presidency, who said there is nothing there. Al Sharpton and Dennis Kucinich, who has always said that. Al Sharpton and Dennis Kucinich. Now, Kaye made these same points in his report last October, but nobody paid attention. In fact, it was easy to overlook, and you were supposed to overlook them. Kaye didn't exactly lie in the report. The points were there if you looked carefully, but he did his best to camouflage them. But now that he no longer is a whore for this Bush thug crime family, now the truth comes out. There was nothing there. What was there was destroyed in 1991, 1996, and 1998. Who was president during that period of time? Oh, that's right. As Robert Scheer in the LA Times says today, or was it yesterday? I guess today. Now can we talk of impeachment? The admission by former Chief U.S. Weapons Inspector David Kaye that Saddam did not possess weapons of mass destruction or the means to create them at the time of the U.S. invasion confirms the fact that the Bush administration is complicit in arguably the greatest scandal in U.S. history. It's only because the Republicans control both houses of Congress that we hear no call for a broad-ranging investigation of the type that led to the discovery of Monica Lewinsky's infamous blue dress. Have I mentioned tonight how much I hate these people? Have I mentioned tonight how much these people, this Bush crime family, are a threat to everything this country has ever stood for? You have a member of your family who died defending this country? In any of our wars, George Bush is urinating on the grave of your family member. You have anybody who has worked in public health or environmental issues or put themselves through medical school or who has worked any pro bono work as an attorney or worked as a school teacher, George Bush is unzipping his fly and urinating all over those people, your family members. He is a liar and he is a killer. He's got to be removed from office. He's got to be impeached. What is it about us that we will not remove this criminal from office? What is it about us? What is it? This reminds me of the Soviet Union during the awful days, you know, the 70s, when the Soviet Union, or the 60s, when they would invade countries, you know, when we were playing on the grand chessboard, our little games between the United States and the Soviet Union. They would invade countries and say, well, they were a threat to democracy. Well, they were going to attack Moscow. Well, that's what these people are. It's astonishing. It's astonishing that nobody will make the move to remove these killers from office, these liars, these thugs. Nobody. Southside Carl has been holding on forever. Carl, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
One quick thing about Dennis Kucinich. I heard him doing a special order minutes or whatever they call it, on the House.
Right.
It was him and this another Republican congressman from Texas. I can't remember his name right now. Both of them presented that evidence in special order speeches.
Probably Ron Paul.
Yeah, Ron Paul. That was Ron Paul. I saw both of them on C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But let me say this real quick about Dennis. His problem, unfortunately, is that he lacks charisma. And even good dudes have to have a strong amount of charisma. I think that's a reality.
Okay, that's an indictment of us, not Dennis.
I guess so, in a way, Mike.
Right.
But, that's not the kind of charisma that, that bad leaders have, but, just even good leaders. I think it's a requirement to have the ability where people like you and enough to... It brings attention to you amongst larger groups of people.
Carl, with all due respect, I don't necessarily agree with that, because any time I have heard Dennis speak, and it's been very seldom because media will not give him afford him that courtesy, he's got charisma. I think all of these candidates, with the exception of Joe Lieberman, and even Lieberman can be funny sometimes, I think the only candidate that didn't have charisma was Carol Moseley Braun. All these candidates.
I like Carol.
Yeah, well, she's fine, but she didn't have the get up and go. Her get up and go got up and went. You know what I'm saying? But Sharpton, Kucinich, Edwards, they all have charisma. But when the camera won't go to you, when there is a refusal on the part of media to demonstrate your charisma. Every time I've heard Dennis Kucinich, he has gotten me just so stirred up. His speeches, when he gives these powerful speeches, he's more powerful, I think, than Dean. Dennis just moves me, and people say he's not.
Well, I heard, like Mike, I've listened to him, and I wouldn't disagree, but I'm just my perspective that there's not that maybe I said it in the wrong way by saying he doesn't. I didn't mean to say he has no charisma, but just that extra plus that makes you more.
Right, he's not handsome. He's not tall. He does look like a hobbit, as Smeagol says. he'll probably get elected the president of the Shire and never America. No, I agree with you. He doesn't have Hollywood good looks. I mean, Edwards has Hollywood good looks. With the right kind of makeup, so does Clark.
Mike, this is the thing. Remember the guy from Texas with the big ears?
Ross Perot.
Yes.
He was crazy too. Dennis isn't crazy. Ross Perot was a madman. He was talking about how George Bush was sending Libyan terrorists to disrupt his daughter's wedding. That man is insane. You know that.
But he had a little charisma working for him. So, but what I wanted to get to you, put before you though was, I don't know if you like numbers, man, or not. I put credence in statistics. Not all statistics, because I know that they can be
lies,
biased.
Right.
Okay, but I had looked. Zogby usually is pretty reliable, or there's no 100% accuracy, but his projections are usually pretty much on the mark or in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this thing closer than what it is. And when I'm finding out with what they got from the exit poll numbers and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Just like from Iowa, Kerry supposedly, it showed that Kerry had people exiting supporting Kerry on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight was similarly the same thing. But there was one that was this really jumped out tonight, though, and that was the breakdown of the affiliation of the voters who voted today.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was something like 40, maybe 46% Democrat, 3% Republican, and there was a slight, the leading was independence of 40, might have been 48.
Yeah, hey, listen, Carl, let me put you on hold a second. I'll come back and give you just a few seconds. We're not going to have much time when we come back. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in the studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
That's amazing.
George, yeah, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Hey, we're just about out of time. We're talking with Southside Carl in Chicago. Carl, go ahead, wrap it up for me real quick.
Yeah, well, just that number with these independents, which I think is an oxymoron anyway, because how are you going to be independent when there's no independent party? But that, to me, is bring me to two conclusions. One, these primaries, there is some monkeying around with Republicans, I believe, getting into the Democratic primaries. And the other thing is that the party is probably using some, you know, this sort of like open primary where anyone can vote in it, basically, as a means of marginalizing what you might want to call radical or extreme elements within the party.
Right.
I don't want to know what you thought.
I don't disagree with that. I live in an open primary state here in Georgia, and I have seen more than one election down here, primary election, completely skewed because of dirty tricks by Republicans. The defeat of Cynthia McKinney was one of those examples. I understand that can happen. Did it happen in New Hampshire? I don't know. I think people want to see somebody win, and I think beat Bush, and I think so many people have been convinced that Howard Dean is not the man, and Dennis Kucinich is totally off the radar screen.
Well, so. What about the party itself using open primaries as a means of marginalizing maybe extreme elements within the party?
Yeah, that's a possibility, although I don't think Democrats are organized enough to do that. I just don't. Hey, thanks, Carl.
All right, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Listen, there's an awful lot of folks we're not going to get to tonight, and I do apologize. I know a lot of you have been holding on. For example, Robin here in Victor, West Virginia. Robin, you got about 30 seconds, pal.
Oh, God, it's auctioneer time, Mike.
I'm so sorry.
We got a survey today from the health department in the county.
Yeah.
And you'll get a kick out of this because, you know, the constant feeding of terror. What was it? The last question, when you think about terrorism or other public health emergencies, what concerns you most?
Mm-hmm.
Smallpox, anthrax, bombing, winter storms, floods, other. And, you know, Mike, I thought about listing homosexual, humanist, neoliberal, angry, Negro, feminist, vampires.
It's probably right up there in the top four or five. Robin, thanks. We got to go.
Have a good one, Mike.
All right, sir. You too. I'm sorry, Marge. I'm sorry. Sorry, Rhea. I'm sorry, Will. You folks have been holding on for a long time tonight. Didn't get to your call. We'll do it again tomorrow night. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check out the fun and frivolity in our gallery there. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Program produced tonight here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is the announcer. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Well, never mind. I can't make it better.
When I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans.